The ideal home is a place so magnetic and harmonious that it's difficult to leave. In a true home, family members enjoy love, kindness, sharing, and appreciation. They help and support one another. It's a place of selflessness and togetherness, where each person has time for everyone else. It is the duty of the parents to turn a house into a home. They do this through their loving care of each other and the children, and their worship in the shrine room. This builds a spiritual vibration, giving the home a temple-like atmosphere. The gods are worshipped in the home. Devas, guardian devas, and ancestors are honored and invited into the home. All the rooms are kept sparkling clean. Puja is done every day in the home shrine. Whenever possible, meals are taken together, preceded by the food blessing chant. The family observes the Hindu festivals together in the home. Devotional songs are sung and traditional music played. Saivite art and artifacts adorn the rooms. All this creates a secure, wholesome living space, a refuge from the harshness of the world. Harmony is a fragile vibration which the family protects by seeking to see one another's point of view, finding points of agreement, and avoiding argument and harsh words. All disagreements are settled before sleep. Guests are treated as God and hospitality is given generously. Children can help their parents keep the home strong. They assist during the morning puja and annual festivals. Gurudeva recommends a weekly family home evening during which all members sit together for dinner, make plans, play games, share interests, express appreciation for one another, and enjoy family togetherness without TV, digital entertainment, or other distractions. Then we have Gurudeva's quote. The devas can live within a home that is clean and well-regulated, where the routine of breakfast, lunch, and dinner is upheld, where early morning devotionals are performed and respected. A home which the family lives together within, eats together within, talks together with him, worships together with him. As the lesson points out, harmony is a fragile vibration which the family protects. So that's an important point Gurudeva makes a lot in his teachings about the home is trying to minimize disharmony in the home. I was thinking about that this morning and recalled what is in the October publisher's desk. Some good advice drawn from Gurudeva's teachings. Points out that one of the default perspectives of the home is a home is the place we let off steam. So if we're upset because the boss is treating us poorly, we can't say anything to the boss, but we can come home and give our spouse a bad time. Likewise, the teachers are giving us a difficult time at school. We can't do anything at school, but we come home and we upset the other kids in the family. So done because it's looked at that it's okay to let off steam. That's where we let off steam. We can't do so at work. We can't do so at school. So where else can we let off steam but in the home? Well, there are other places, as Dr. David points out. And the pub desk mentioned three. It depends on the person's nature. It depends what kind of stress is going on. Of course, the obvious one is the Hindu temple. Stopping at the temple and praying for a while before coming home is an effective way to not bring the stress home. Another one that works well is taking a walk in a beautiful place, wherever you are, Generally, there's parks, beaches in Hawaii, little hilltop, overlooks things. You can find a beautiful place and spend some time there to let go of your stress before you come home. And then for other individuals, the stress goes away best when you exercise. So stop at a gymnasium and exercise away the stress so that when you come home, you're totally relaxed. And there's also a need for someone staying at home. For example, a mother with a young child could be staying at home full time, and that can build up stress as well. So in that case, it's good to get out of the home. Go to the same places. Go to the temple, the park, the gym, and let go of your stress so that when the spouse and the kids come home, you're not expressing your stress toward them because you don't have it anymore. Well, that's a very simple perspective, that the home is not the place to let off steam. Thinking of other things to say, when it comes to the home, of course, the Tirukkural has a whole section. It has to do with Ilam. Ilam means house or home. And Aram is the ancient Tamil word for Dharma, so this section uses the words Ilaram, the Dharma of the home, or the Grahastha Dharma. So I chose a few verses, but way, way too much. It's good. And point out some of the key teachings. Gurudeva really identified deeply with the teachings of the Tirukkural. If you're not remembering that, you can read the introduction again. Very unusual. You know, Gurudeva, it's easier for Gurudeva to write a book than to read a book, or more natural, shall we say. He enjoyed expressing his own wisdom and didn't usually like to read somebody else's wisdom. One of the books he liked was, his favorite book was Patanjali Yoga Sutras, which he talks about. But in the introduction here, which he wrote, he must have just written it when we published it, right? I would think. He expressed how deeply the Tirukkural, the teachings, how deeply they meant to, they were integral to his teachings. You find the same ideas throughout Gurudeva's teachings, particularly in his book Living with Shiva. You'll see, oh, that's in the Tirukkural, that's in Living with Shiva. He really put a lot into it. Verse 45 on family life. When family life possesses love and virtue, it has found both its essence and fruition. So my Tamil reading is very out of date. I'm going to try and read the Tamil because it's so beautiful. It gives you a sense of how rhyming works in Tamil. Angum aranum udaita yin ilwalhai pangpum payanum adu. The rhymes are all at the beginning. Beautiful. You have to talk about the wife and the kids. The good wife. She is the helpful wife who possesses the fullness of domestic virtues and spends within her husband's means. Very practical statement there. Spends within her husband's means. No excessive shopping on eBay. 61. Children, of all blessings we know of none greater than the begetting of children endowed with intelligence. So that's the goal, children endowed with intelligence. A lot of beautiful verses on possessing love. Just read one. Verse 80. With love enshrined in the heart, one truly lives. Without it, the body is but bones encased in skin. Oh, there's no love in there. You're not really alive. It's just a structure, a body with bones encased in skin. Then the next one I usually present as a question. What is the whole purpose of earning wealth and maintaining a home? Remember that question? What were the standard answers? Well, the purpose of earning wealth and maintaining a home, of course, is to provide for the family members. That's why we do all this. Husband, wife, the kids, any parents who are living there, we're doing all of it for them, right? Not the correct answer. The whole purpose of earning wealth and maintaining a home is to provide hospitality to guests. So it's just not enough just to take care of the immediate family members. We need to reach out to others. Treat the guest as God. We need to reach out to others. A number of ways we can reach out to others. In this case, he's talking about hospitality. Hospitality is a very important part, and said in its broadest form, it's just the idea that particularly in Western countries, the general consciousness is focused on materialism, material gain, material possessions. And Hinduism says that's great. We want to have adequate material possessions for our family members. But to balance that out, having all these things, we need to give on a regular basis. We need to be charitable. And then we're balancing out the having, so we're not really greedy. We're having too much, we're balancing it out by giving on a regular basis. So one of the ways we give is hospitality. And this is a key one. I'll read the chapter title, Speaking Pleasant Words. To utter harsh words when sweet ones would serve is like eating unripe fruits when ripe ones are at hand. Isn't that great? Who would eat the green mango when the ripe mango is next to it? But yet we choose unkind words instead of kind words. So, not consistent. Adakam. Okay. Possession of self-control. Adakam Udaimai. First I'll tell the story. The story I tell regularly. That everyone can relate to it. Meeting with a family. I mean, the family's in the group Hedam, for those who don't know. This family, husband, wife, and two boys, probably average age of 5 or 6. One was a year or two older than the other. And as is common, I meet with them after the puja. So that means these two boys have sat through a very long puja. And you know what happens when children have just sat through a very long puja? They have to run around. They can't sit anymore. The ability to sit still has been used up by the puja. So they're running around the group Hedam. He's kind of embarrassed. I said, that's all right. They used up their ability to sit still. We just have to work with that. And then he said, you know, I used to be a much calmer person before I was married. So, you know, the tattling of two young boys is a big challenge, and it can cause less calmness in your life. But the point here is, and I'll read the verse, more imposing than a mountain is the greatness of a man who, steadfast in domestic life, has mastered self-control. I'll draw a parallel. Gurudeva regularly would say, it's very easy to be peaceful in a peaceful place. We go down on the beach on Kauai, and it's just so wonderful, the sound of the ocean and all, we're totally peaceful. And then we go home to a bustling city, and we don't have any peace at all. So it's easy to be peaceful in a peaceful place. The challenge is to maintain the peace in a place that's not peaceful. So likewise, it's easy before domestic life and two small kids to be self-controlled, but it's a lot harder when you're in the midst of domestic life. But that's the point. The point is to increase our self-control. That's the whole point. Increase self-control. We're not supposed to be perfect, but we're supposed to be getting better. Oh, we don't want to continually let the kids frustrate us. We want to find out ways that they can behave like kids and it doesn't disturb us. That's the goal. We've increased our self-control. We're able to stay centered in situations that previously we weren't able to stay centered in. David writes about that in the Master Course. He says, and when you get really good at that, then I start giving you really big things to do and that throw you off center. Then you have to learn not to get thrown off center by those. Well, it doesn't stop. We need to keep increasing our self-control through facing greater challenges. That's the point. Is life provides some of them automatically, but we can also take on challenging things to do to increase our self-control in whatever field we're in. If we're an artist and we paint, we can try and do a painting even better than we've done before. If we're a writer, we can try and write something that's more insightful than we've done before. We can always challenge ourselves to come up to a new level, which requires greater self-control. Thank you very much. Om Namah Shivaya.